If you want to take out your Bibles and open up to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 1174. If you're a visitor here among us today, we're certainly glad you are here. We welcome you back to come anytime, any opportunity that you may have. It's good to see family and friends together. As we take this time to look through the Word of God to find instruction, I want you to think in terms of this question. Do you have God's peace? Do you have the peace of God? What does it look like? Where does it come from in our own lives? So often when you think in terms of peace that is fleshly, it means a peace where I don't have any turmoils or any troubles. And so often that eludes us. You want to find that kind of peace and people just retreat from people. Let's just get away. And realize, can't do that forever. And you're not going to find peace there anyway from God. On the other hand, when you look at the peace that God offers, it is not dependent upon circumstances or situation. It is a peace that is there no matter what may come. And in finding that, you find a promise of God that we can enjoy forever. Not just in blips and moments of time, but through the rest of our days, even into the very presence of God. So as you think through these things, I want you to notice Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. And Paul starts off all 13 books that he writes of our New Testament with these same two things. In the first few verses of every single book, Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice first, where does peace come from? If you're going to really find peace in the midst of difficulties, difficult circumstances, it's going to have to originate from God. If there's no relationship with Him, notice He says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father. If we're not a child of God, you'll never find this kind of peace. It's unattainable outside of God. We'll also never find a grace like this outside of Him. So there has to be a relationship with the Father, and that comes through Jesus. And then notice the second aspect of it. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a life that submits to Jesus. To have this relationship with God, if we're going to be born of God to be His children, we're going to be a loving people. In order to be loving in the way that He desires, we'll have to deny ourselves and submit to Jesus. When you find those two things, you'll find both grace and peace. Those who rebel against God never find peace. We can't go against what we know God desires and would not submit to Jesus and say, boy, I'm at peace. You'll never find it. However, in the most difficult of situations in our lives, when the turmoils come, the difficulties are there, whenever we submit ourselves to Jesus, to be a loving people and denying ourselves, you'll find peace no matter what the circumstances are. No matter how difficult it becomes, no matter how it's seen, you'll find an abiding peace, an abiding presence of God in our everyday lives. Not just here and there and every once in a while, but here's where the peace of God takes over. And with His peace is also grace. I'm going to treat you beyond what you deserve. I'm going to give you because you're my faithful child. Now, I want you to take this even a step further. Look over at Philippians chapter 4 now. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 2. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. I beg of you, please, live in harmony. Now, these are two names, they're feminine names. I know they're not common names to us. These two ladies didn't have peace. It wasn't theirs. Because they weren't willing to love like God loved, and they weren't willing to submit to Jesus. Hence the reason Paul has to say, let me urge you, let me encourage you, live in harmony. Stop doing it your own way. Stop having your own agenda and your own things you want to carry out that are contrary to the love of God. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche. Notice it's not just one, it's both. Now, here's where fleshliness can set in. We don't know anything more about their situation. If they respond out of flesh, they say, it's all her fault. If they respond out of submission to God, all of a sudden they take a look at themselves. How come they don't have peace? Are they loving like Christ? Are they denying themselves to be like Christ? If they were, there'd be harmony there already. So where the love of God is and a submission of one to follow it, you'll find peace. And they didn't have it. He says, I urge both of you to live in harmony. Notice verse 3. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. He says, Clement and these other fellow workers, their names are in the book of life. Is there peace in having life? That's where peace abides. Is where there's life, eternal life, spiritual life in Jesus. He says, these ladies, they're going to have to change their minds. They're going to have to change their hearts. He says, look at Clement. We don't know anything about Clement. But there's one thing you do know. He's working off of the peace of God. He's a fellow worker with Paul. Not just one in name only. As you start to see these things, maybe we consider this thought. Here these two ladies were. This letter gets written and also read in front of the people, the saints that are there at Philippi. To have this letter read and to hear your name be called out, if they were humble, they appreciated it. If they were fleshly, they got angry. Now, if I was to call out your name and somebody else's name here, would you get angry or would you be humbled? You want peace? The peace that only God can give? Or do you want it your way? And don't submit to Christ. You'll never find peace. And you'll never find the grace of God until there's a heart that turns. Notice what he comes to in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Notice he doesn't say rejoice in yourself. He says your rejoicing is in the Lord. If you're going to walk in the Lord, they'll be rejoicing there. Too many times you say, well, I don't know if I can rejoice. These situations are kind of hard and difficult. Can you rejoice in the Lord? Did Clement have something to rejoice about? He says, my name's written. It's written in the book of life. I've got eternal life. What can be compared to that? No matter what the difficulties are that come, I'm going to leave this earth with a relationship that is faithful toward the Lord. If I die, but I get to go be with the Lord. I get to enjoy the relationship. I get to enjoy grace and peace because God is my Father and Jesus is my Lord. Now let Him decide in my life what I do and don't do. says, rejoice in the Lord always. It's tailored around in the Lord. The things of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Even with difficulties. The only way we don't rejoice is if we leave the Lord out of it. And we don't walk around in the Lord anymore. And again, I say rejoice. How do you know if that's really there? We say, I can have times where I rejoice, but other times I don't know. Are you thinking about things in terms of in the Lord? Let's say it this way. How does that joy give its expression in our lives? How will we really see that it's there? Well, here's what's going to come across. Look at verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. When there's a rejoicing in the Lord, it has an effect on the relationships that we have with each other. He says, let your gentleness be known to all men. You ever had somebody who you know and think of and go, they are just the gentlest soul I think I've ever met? When you find gentleness, a child of God, and someone who submits to the Lord, that's when you know you found someone who rejoices in the Lord. If our attitude toward each other or other people is, boy, there are times where I get really harsh, I start responding to people the way I think they ought to get, we're not really rejoicing in the Lord. And don't be surprised if you never find any peace in the Lord. And don't also be surprised whenever there's not grace that you encounter. Because when we rejoice in the Lord, there'll be a gentleness with each other. Because we realize, you know what? It's not all up to me. Whenever people turn into raving mad lunatics in anger, they're trying to get their way. They've got an agenda. Love of God's not about an agenda other than what's His. So when you start to look through the passage here, He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is near. The Lord stands with me. Now that's where you find peace. When you know that the Lord is standing with you. Because you are standing with Him. When you stand with the Lord, you know it's going to be okay. Maybe you can think back on a time when you were younger and situations would be overwhelming at times. And then all of a sudden one of your parents would show up and you would latch onto them and you'd go, oh, relief. Someone who is stronger and mightier than me who can handle all these things. Maybe we get to an older age and we realize we just can't do the things that we used to could do. And someone comes and they say, I'm here to help you. And you find a relief. What about when you know that God is near? That He stands near beside you because you're going to love like He loves and you're going to deny yourself and submit to what He desires. God says, now I'll show you what rejoicing and life and grace and peace are. Now, notice the next verse. He says, now that you know the Lord is near, you realize it's not up to you. You just be gentle with other people and stay on what's true and what's holy. Notice how it continues. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is being pulled in two directions at once. A fleshly and a spiritual. And when you try and hold on to both, you just find anxiety in the middle. What's the bridge that goes from, boy, these difficult situations are here, and the peace of God? Anxiety is what comes in between. Whenever you realize that the Lord is near, what happens to anxiety? Oh, the Lord's going to take care of these things. I don't know how, but He will. The Lord's near. I'm going to submit myself to do what He desires. I'm going to deny myself. What do you find in the midst of the greatest difficulties in life? Peace. You find a peace. He says, be anxious for nothing. Then He says it this way in the rest of the verse. So what do you do in the midst of difficulty and you want peace? You want the peace that God supplies. Look at where He goes to. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He says prayer and supplication. Prayer is kind of the general term. I'm appealing to God for help. Supplication is just like what the root word is. You're asking God to supply something. Supply something that you recognize is lacking. You might even recognize that you're lacking strength. You might recognize that you're lacking peace. And so you look in terms of, how do I demonstrate the love of God in this relationship? How do I make sure that I'm submitting to what the Lord desires in me? Sometimes you pray for God to grant you wisdom. God, show me the direction I need to go to honor You. And then whenever He gives direction from His Scripture and His Word, now you go, that's the direction I'm going to take. And you find an abiding peace. And it doesn't matter about the circumstance anymore. And now notice this, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's a gratitude for it. Ungrateful people are not those who have nothing. Things are not what make you grateful or ungrateful. It's got to do with what's going on inside of the heart. Probably one of the most outstanding lessons I saw of this was whenever I went over to another continent, a third world country, and I saw a people who were more grateful for their nothing than I was for my everything. And I saw gratitude has nothing to do with possessions. It has solely to do with your relationship with the Lord and how you see things. Have you ever been thankful for a trial, for a difficulty that you got to go through? You relied on the Lord, and you saw how He worked it all out, and you got to have and enjoy peace throughout the whole endeavor. Are you ever thankful for trials? Do you ever thank God for the job that you have, even though you encounter a lot of difficulties because of it? Maybe even in simple things. You thank God for a vehicle to drive, even when it breaks down. In the midst of these kind of things, they're very simple. But are we really grateful for them? Let's think of it this way. The very night before Jesus dies, He tells His disciples, "My soul is deeply troubled to the point of death." Sound pretty troubled? What's His response? "I'm going to go to the garden and I'm going to pray." You ever thought about what He prays about? "Father, I want to do it Your way, in the way that honors You and Your love. And I want to be willing to deny myself." And whenever He comes out of the garden of Gethsemane, is He still troubled? Or do you see a man set on the love of God to give himself over? Do you see within God His willingness to supply Jesus with strength? Sends His angel to strengthen Him. You see God respond. Here's what we do in the midst of times of difficulty, times of anxiety. Are you going to humble yourself under His hand? to deny ourselves and to submit to Jesus, and to be able to enjoy the grace and peace of God. That's what Jesus did. He endures turmoil and the cross. Who is He continually talking to? His Father. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. Who is He ever aware of? And now in the midst of His crucifixion, you see a man who will be empowered by God. Now, I want you to notice it here at the end of verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known. I want you to realize this, you're not making it known to God. He already knows. Matthew chapter 6 verse 8 says, your Father knows what you need before you ask. We're not letting Him in on a secret of what we know. Do we realize we need Him? Do we realize how desperately we need Him? And to know how to love like He loves. And how to deny ourselves and submit to Him. He says, let me tell you about the peace that will come because you'll know that I'm with you. When you follow and hold my hand to walk with me, I'm with you. Notice as it continues, verse 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He says, the peace of God is going to take over in your life. In the midst of difficulties and hard circumstances, He says, you're just going to watch the peace of God come in. And here's what it's going to do. And notice the way He talks about it. It's a little bit different. Which surpasses all comprehension. Now, this term for surpasses is about value. The peace of God has a greater value than all that you know. It can do things that you don't grasp and you don't understand. That you can go through the worst of days and the most difficult of situations and you can have the peace of God in the midst of it because it is greater in value than all that you comprehend and know. And here's where the peace of God sets guard. The term for guard is a military term. Setting guard over. Notice the two aspects. Will guard your hearts and your minds. Hearts, going to guard your motives. Minds, it's going to guard your thinking. Consider it this way. You've ever been in a situation where you go through and you go, you know what, there's something I'm going to make sure that happens and I don't care what happens in between, I'm going to do it my way. Did you ever find any peace in that? Or did you find people who got in your way? And whenever they got in your way, what'd you do with them? You told them to get out of your way. It destroys everything. But see, whenever the peace of God is guarding the heart, God says, remember the motive. Remember the motive is to love and imitate Jesus. It's not to just do it your way. But whenever we get away from the peace of God to submit to Him, all of a sudden everything gets messed up. And we're saying, I don't want the peace of God. That takes love and it takes denial of self and it takes me to rejoice in the midst of difficulty. He says, yeah, I know. And you're just throwing it out the window. Peace of God will also guard your mind. The things that you allow yourself to dwell on. And He's going to get right to that real quick. To say, be careful about what you think about. Be careful, little mind, what you think. Because the things you dwell on are the things you turn into. Because the thinking comes out of the heart and the mind. Notice how He continues here. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on them. Abide by them. Think about them. The real idea here for dwell on them is when you see them, remember it for later. Remember it for how you're going to respond to things when they happen to you. This is a great encouragement to all of us. Whenever there's someone who goes through a great difficulty and they respond out of the peace of God to continue to be loving toward God, to do it His way, and you see the grace of God be slathered upon them as they go through the difficulty and they come out the other side better for it. To go, I remember that. That made an impression on me. That's what it means to dwell on it. And now if that ever happens to me, I know how to respond. I see it. I want you to think of these words real quick. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time here. Look at these words. Whatever is true, factual, or accurate. Whatever is honorable, worthy of respect. Whatever is right, up to the standard of who God is. Whatever is pure, being without blemish, unadulterated is the way we would think about it. Lovely, whatever is pleasing. It even grabs your attention. Of good repute, it deserves approval. He says, if there is any excellence, outstanding goodness, if there's anything worthy of praise, something to be encouraged, dwell on it. Think about it. Let the peace of God guard your mind and your heart. But if you're going to let your mind dwell on how everything can go wrong, don't be surprised if the peace of God eludes you. Where's your mind? Where's your heart? Think of it this way. The people of Philippi had seen Paul and Silas under great distress. They had seen them be beaten with rods, dragged away into the inner courts, in the inner prison being put on guard by the Philippian jailer. And after they come to, and it's about midnight, I want you to notice what they're dwelling on. Number one, they're praying and they're singing hymns of praise to God. Let's see, what are they dwelling on? Poor me? My life's so hard? This is so difficult? No. They're praying to God. And I'll go ahead and tell you, they're not praying for their release. Because whenever all the doors are open, they don't run. They stay. And they want to praise God in the midst of all these difficulties. What's abiding with them? Peace of God. What's abiding with them? The grace of God. Because by morning light, they're going to have food set before them. They're going to have their wounds washed. They're going to have the Philippian jailer and his whole household coming to faith in Jesus to be baptized. And they're going to have the same authorities that arrested them come and tell them, will you please go? And they're going to say, no, we're not going. You bring us in here in public, we're not going to go out and just with nobody to notice. What happened? The peace of God took over. And God put His grace on them. And as part of that grace, others enjoyed it. And it happened right there in Philippi after a big, humongous earthquake. Why? Because Paul and Silas submitted themselves to God to do it His way, and they didn't care about themselves anymore. And what did they show? A gentleness. And they rejoiced. They even sang about it. It is a little different to sing hymns of praise in a prison. It's so enjoyable. Notice this. They dwelled on these things. And when opportunities came, they had already made up their mind on how to respond. Then, verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It's not something you just know about and it happens. He says, you learned it. He says, you received it. You heard it. You saw it. He says, We carried it out right in front of you. Did you pay any attention? Iodia and Syntyche, it's time for you to humble yourselves and live in harmony. It says, those of you of faith, enjoy the peace of God, because with it comes His grace. And His grace is so far beyond our imagination. He says, now it's time for you to practice it. Is the peace of God in your life? Have you submitted to Him? Do you have a relationship with the Father through Jesus? In doing so, do you continually deny yourself to submit to Him? If you do, you already enjoy this peace. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, you find it and you dwell in it and you live it and you enjoy it. Because the grace of God is being poured out on you too. If we push away from God, we give up life, we give up love, we give up joy, and we give up peace, and we give up grace, and we give up our names being written in heaven, in the book of life. No peace. Abide in love. Walk in love. Walk with God. And when He walks with you, you have nothing but peace. Even through difficulties. Do we live there? Do we abide there? Get away from our own agendas, our own thinking. They'll rob us of joy, peace, and grace.